Very good. Okay. So today it will be our second just introductory share on the topics, just to continue with what we were doing, and then we'll continue with Yevamos, and we'll start, I guess, the Masechta part after Sukkot.
Yeah.
Okay. So last week we began analyzing Yevamos. I tried to explain why it is that Yevamos is a difficult Masechta, but what I was really trying to do was point out some of the singular facets, let's say, of this institution of Yibum, especially Yibum slash Chalitza. And I want to continue with that just to highlight some of the psukim and some of the other issues, so we'll be aware of them, I can identify them, and be sensitive to the issues, so that we'll be able to appreciate some of the Shaka Vitarias and other topics, other themes when we encounter them. That's the idea, hopefully, of an introduction. So I mentioned last week, as part of the framework, that some of the Rishonim, and some Akronim too, but even the Rishonim already discuss why it is that the Masechet Yevamos is the beginning of Seder Nashim. And I was also raising a second question, which I hope to get back to a little bit today, and that'll be relevant, post Yom Tov, and that is, and that's why is Yevamos the first Masechet in Seder Nashim? It's an interesting question, because certainly, instinctively, we wouldn't have begun with Masechet Yevamos. Right? We would have begun with Kiddushin or Tzuvos, something of that. Some people might say Gittin, because in the Parsha, at least, Gittin, the Parsha we read last week, Kiteitzei. You could say that Gikach Ish Isha, Uva Allah, Vimla Matzachain Day Now, it's all an introduction. Really, mostly the section deals with Gittin, but certainly not Yevamos. So, as I mentioned, I think last week, the Meiri actually quotes that there really are some who have a different scheme. But those who have this scheme, which is most, so they have to give explanations for it. The Rambam says because there's kfiyah in Yibum, there's no kfiyah in the other mitzvot. The question is, why is that a reason to come first necessarily? The Tosfos Shanim here, which we talked about last week, gives three answers to this question. One is, if you look at this right in the beginning again, Chamesh Atzrei Noshim Potos Torosayim, says, Yesh Makshim, Amai Matzal Seder Noshim Yivamos, Tzatzkule Purinu Salom Tzalina. Again, I don't think you need an explanation why it shouldn't have, it's just like, why would it? I mean, it's a more usual circumstance, rarer circumstance, and it's definitely a more complex case, one of the things that we're, in the midst of talking about. So, but if you needed like further reinforcement to the question, well, why wouldn't you start with Yevamos? I guess the answer would be Atzule Puranusa Lo Matalina. You don't usually start on a note of a Puranus, something sad or calamity that takes place. The Adrav Ha'elam Lahatzul Kiddushin Ksuvas Gittin Hachakach Yevamos. So the Tosfos Shanim gives three answers. The Nira Mishum Besiv Haya Emunas Yitacha Chosen Yeshuos. Rabu Tacha the Seder Moed, Kosen the Seder Nashim, in case Seder Nashim, who bossa Seder Moed, the Messiah the Sechet Moed Kata. The Abba Purnusa, the Kachit, the Seder Nashim, the Sechet Sivamos, Umasnech Purnusa, the Purnusa, Kiraminon, Perakam, the Shukthin, etc. Meaning, the first answer is that, again, there's also a question of scheme. So, we have Chagiga, the last Mesechta in Moed, but some people have Moed Kata as the last Masechet in Moed. So since Moed Kafan deals with the Yoni Avelos, so it's a good place to start. What if it's an Avelos, which leads to an Isha, namely Yibum. Okay. Inami Mefarish Tchila Eza Isha Asura, the Eza Isha Mutera, Tzvahad Mefarish Kula Mili Dinashe. So the second answer is intriguing. That we begin first by identifying who you can't marry, right? And after that, then we discuss who you can marry. I think I mentioned this last week, and that's strange, right? Why would you dafka want to begin with the exceptions or the limitations? Right? That doesn't seem, to be intuitive. But that's what the second answer to Tosfos Shanim is. What's particularly interesting about that is it answers the other question: why does the Masechet Yevamos begin
with the exception to Yibum. In other words, why does Nashim begin with Yibamos? You know, is one question, and why does the Yibamos begin as it does? Kamesh Esrei Nashim Potos Torosayim, the Torah Torosayim and Achritim and Yibam Atzov Ha'olam Be'Elohim. Right, so Mishnah starts by telling us, the first Mishnah is telling you there are 15 relationships, which if you encounter them in the context of Zikas Yibum, in other words, if a brother dies and he doesn't have children, and he, his wife, or if he has multiple wives, right, so one of them is one of these 15 relationships, right, so in that situation there's no din of Yibum, there's no Yibum Yachalitza, there's no Zika, right, and then Mishnah lists what they are, right, Bito, his daughter, Bas Bito, his granddaughter, Bas Bino, another granddaughter from the son, Bas Isho, right, his stepdaughter, Bas Bina, Bas Bita, right, his step-granddaughter from both sides, Chamoso, Eim Chamoso, right, his mother-in-law, his grandmother-in-law. I mean, if he encounters any of these Arayos, there is no din of Yibum. So that's straight, that's the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says not only is there not a din of Yibum with such a relation, but if that's one of the law wives, then all of the wives are excluded from Yibum and Chalitza. And not only that, but also Tzaras Tzara. If one of those wives, right, ends up marrying another brother, and that brother dies, right, so then the additional wives of the second brother, additional to, not the daughter, the daughter's, you know, companion wife, co-wife, or rival wife, as the case may be, you know, I guess whether it's harmonious or competitive. So, well, really called sorrow, it sounds like it's competitive. So, you know, even, you know, even with good sisters like, you know, Leah and Rachel, it was, you know, it was competitive. So the, you know, the halacha is that all those, you know, Zikas, you know, don't get off the ground. So it's a strange, again, why does Masechet Yevamos, why does Nashim begin with Yevamos, and why does Yevamos begin with the exception? We were thought to start with the rule, namely, these are the conditions in which you have Yibum or Chalitza. But this is what the Tosfos Shamim says. There's a third answer, which I also want to get to, and that is, Oge Shoma Mishun Dihi Mitzvah Rishona She'ira B'Nashim K'Nasiv B'Tamar Bol Eisha Sachicha V'Yabe Mosah. That the first instance, let's say, of Chiyu, the Ishas, which we find in the Torah, is the story of Tamar, right, whose husband, Er, died, and the brother, Onan, was supposed to be the person who would marry her, who would do Yibum to her. So Tosfos Shamim says, since that historically is the first, I guess, Chobas Ishas, he doesn't elaborate so much, therefore, that's a good place to begin. So the second and third answer, well, the first answer is a kind of a neutral answer. I mean, Purinusa, Purinusa. Although there's something to say about that too, a little bit, but maybe we'll get back to it. The second and the third are intriguing. So all we mean is it's better to know what to avoid, you know, before you begin to discuss what is permitted. It could be. Or is there something about understanding the prohibitions, right, which also highlights something about Mishnas generally, and also about Yibum specifically? And in connection with that, the third idea, which is the story of Yehuda, Tamar, Er, Onan, and Sheva. There's an assumption of the Tosfos Yeshanim, which I hope to get back to, if not today, we might have to extend you know, the Hakamah just a little bit more, after Yantiv, and that is the din of Yibum and also Chalitza something which began only post Matan Torah, or does it apply pre Matan Torah as well? In the whole story of in Parshas Vayeshev that Tosfos Yeshanim is making reference to implies that Yibum existed pre Matan Torah, and Tosfos Yeshanim by saying that, you know, that early historical event, right, is the reason why Yevamos is the first Masechta in Seder Nashim, So by saying that, he seems to be declaring that, you know, that wasn't some different kind of Yibum, right? That was the same Yibum. Otherwise, why do we care? Yeah.
Did Yehuda reject an idea with Shela? Because, I mean, his attitude with Shela would call into question whether he viewed that Shela.
100%. So that's a big discussion. I don't think we're going to get through it today. That's a big discussion among the Mefarsh. Why didn't Yehuda, right, actually marry off Tamar to Shela? Right, the Torah says he didn't. Torah says that he implied that he would, but he didn't.
Right.
Right. Well, we'll leave it to him. We have it to him right here. The here. Second. The page 3. So the number 29. If you're line 29. Yehuda leTamar kalaso shvi amana beisavich ad yigdal shela bni. So basically, the simple pshat in the pasuk, this is a big discussion among the parshim, is that Yehuda said to Tamar, wait for Shema, but that Yehuda, right, didn't have any intention of going through with it. So that's how Rashi understands it. The Ramban is very bothered by that. Ramban says, if that's true, then he shouldn't have given the other impression. And it's not as if Yehuda had to be scared of Tamar. If he had justified reasons not to marry Shela to Tamar, he should have just been upfront about it. Which is why the Ramban says, really he intended to marry her off to Shela, but he didn't want to do it at this young age, because he was concerned that, like his brothers, you know, that he, you know, would fall prey to an Aveira, and therefore he wanted to have more time with him, just to educate him better than his brothers, so that he would be able to fulfill the Yibum in a proper way. That's what Ramban interprets. Others say that Yehuda wanted to wait till Shela was, he was worried Shela would die, like the two other brothers did. He at least wanted to marry him off to someone else, so he could, you know, be the kind in the midst of a period of Arivia, and then he was going to take a chance, you know, with Tamar.
Okay.
Rashi doesn't think even that. Rashi thinks that he just, you know, didn't want to hurt her feelings or something, but he had no intention of going through it. Well, I don't know if we'll get to it today, but the, you know, there's a big debate when it comes to the Yehuda the Tamar story, when finally Yehuda is obviously physically connected, has a physical relationship with Tamar. So in the end, when he finds out who she is, so he says, "Vayaka Yehuda vayomer tzadka mimeni alkei lo nisatia l'shema b'ni v'lo yosaf ododata." So this is Machlokas Tarantur Bavli Yerushalmi, and Rashi quotes today is also, that's a big Machlokas. What does it mean, lo yosaf ododata? One is, he didn't stop, meaning once he realized that that, you know, if this is a proper Yibum that he was involved with, so he continued to live with her as husband and wife. That's one view. Or, lo yasaf means lo himshich, meaning he didn't. That was the last time that he was involved with her. So then the question is, well, why? I mean, it was a perfectly good Yibum. I hope we'll get back to that. There are some interesting answers to that. The Rabban in Perush Al Torah says, Enoch Hanami, he could have continued to live with her, but he didn't. But if you look at the Ramban and Daf Tzadi Ches, which you asked these questions, in Yevamos, which is on page 6 of our sheet, so the Ramban here, this is an important issue, which I'm going to mention right now because it fits into what I'm trying to say anyway. The question is, pre-Matan Torah, was there an Isur Kala? And he was a daughter-in-law prohibited to a father-in-law. I mean, when she was no longer married, obviously, to his son. Otherwise, she'd be an Eishes Ish. But, right, Min HaTorah, post-Matan Torah, right, a daughter-in-law is prohibited. That's one of the arayos, in fact, in the Mishnah that we just read on the Beis Amid Aleph in Yevamos, right? Meaning, even if the son is no longer alive, or there's a divorce, nonetheless, the daughter-in-law
right, is prohibited to the father-in-law. That's called the Iser of Kala. So is that prohibition something that was created by Matan Torah, or that applied to pre-Matan Torah as well? Right, that is very connected. That's an important question. Not only Kala, but say other marital arayos as well. The arayos, machmas ishus, are they only post-Matan Torah, or are they pre-Matan Torah? That's a very important issue. So in Yehuda v'Tamar, sorry, this of course... let's assume three Yisrael for a moment. We'll get to Ben Noach in just a minute. But let's assume for Yisrael, Kodesh Matan Torah, right? So the again, the assumption of Rashi and the Bali Tosis, Ala Torah, when they talk about, and many of the Midrashim, when they talk about the whole Yehuda v'Tamar story, the assumption is that this is Yisrael Kala. And that's what I have to try to explain. How could Yehuda be involved with Tamar? So there are a whole bunch of Mefarshim who say she wasn't really married to Er. Right? Or she wasn't married anymore to Er Lamafreya. Why? She was a Yisoma, and she did Niun. What? Actually, the Bali Tosis Ala Torah say that when Yehuda was involved with Tamar, they were kosher Eidim. Anyway, but I don't know about Er. But with Er, they say two other things based on Chazal. One is that she was very young, and she was a Yisoma Mimayanes, right? So she wasn't really married to him, or it turns out she wasn't really married to him. Or that, as you know, as they understand the Parsha, you know, since the relationship that they had there, in other words, was Bia Shalom Kedarka. So the Torah says Ulaz Baal. So there's one view in the Gemara that Kodesh Matan Torah, unless it was a regular physical relationship which could produce a child, the Ishus wasn't Chal. So the Rishonim, the Bali Tosos Ala Torah, it's fascinating just because they deal with this problem. Rashi, Tosos, Moshe Kanim, Hadar Zekanim, you know, the Bali Tosos in the back of the Chumashim was a good, called the Das Kanim Bali Tosos. So they deal with these issues, they come up with all these various answers. The Chizkuni is part of that school, and their assumption is that otherwise they have a huge problem because of the problem of Kala. So the Chachmei Sfarad, on the other hand, were of the opinion that Kodesh Matan Torah, there was no Isur Rayos based on Ishus. That's how they solved the problem. They said there was no Isur Kala, period. She was married to Er, but just because she was married to Er, since Er is no longer alive, there's no Isur Kala. So that's the discussion of the Ramban. If you look at the Ramban here, the Ramban says here on number 19 or 20. So the Ramban says, "Hu adin nami barayus the ishus kagon ishus krovim din mutaris begius son degabe arayus kichal zibu minu kichal esbu lo gaminu medashkalu ishus baav the chiddushu dafkarinu rachmano lizarayu kedefrishus." Ramban says, according to Matan Torah, there was no arayos right by means of ishus, but there might have been arayos of like a mother or a daughter, you know, a sister, but not arayos through marriage, like a daughter-in-law, a mother-in-law, those kind of things. And then he proves it. Vare Yaakov nasa shtei achis. While Yaakov married two sisters, right? Even while married at the same time, two sisters. The imbalei hayu asuros hayu chacham shichin lefarish shalom hayu arayos b'nei'im. V'lo pirshuchem v'shul makom. And at least they should have said, oh, they're only married on, they're only sisters on one and not on the other. Vare Yehuda Amar al Tamar Kalaso Sod Kamineni Bilo Haisa Asura Mishum Kala Akati Chayevasi Misa Darayos. Because she knew it was Yehuda, so he's saying she is a tzadekes. She's not a tzadekes. She, Yehuda at least didn't know it was Tamar, right? Although the Mefarshim asked there too, such a tzadek, the Ramon Shalom would be allow him to be nichshal, you know, in an isarayos. That's the Bali tells us to ask that question. But it's even more so because she knew who he was, so it was intentional. So we need sadka bimeni if it was an isarayos, right? Ah, so that is the Ramban says all these are proofs that there's no isarayos based on korva kodem matan Torah. V'hadchziv v'leyotzav od l'data. So again, this parashal Torah, he says, oh, he didn't continue to live with her, even though he could have, because there's no Issa Kala, right? Here, he's bothered by it because here he's, you know, he's making a very strong statement based on his psukim that there's no Yisr Kal. So what's the problem? What do you mean, lo yasaf ol adat? So he says, mipnei shehoysa zekuka liyavam v'hu shela. Right? Ulefima sheyuno agin biyivumen. Even though the Ramban holds in his Perish Ala Torah in Bereishis, meaning in Bayesha, I mean, Sefer Bereishis, but Parshas Bayesha, so Ramban is of the opinion that Kodem Matan Torah, right, a father-in-law, you know, was an expanded Yavam. But there's a hierarchy, that's right. So he's a Yavam, but after a brother. So in this Perish Ala Torah, he doesn't use that to explain Lo Yasaf Ol Adata, but in his Chidushim here in Yavamos, he does. So basically what he's saying is, Yehuda didn't want to give Shela, right, his son, to marry Tamar, or at least not then. But, so Shela in one respect, well, and that was justified, but Shela was still there. Right? And his Perish Ala Torah probably thinks the justification was so strong that it's as if Shela wasn't a candidate. Right, so then he's the next Yavam, and that's fine. But in the Chidushim, the Ramban's not taking that view. So he's saying basically Yehuda was the Yavam, but since it was a closer Yavam, so once he found out, it's Tzadkaimi Meni, meaning there wasn't any Easter, but Yehuda wasn't comfortable enough to continue the relationship. Yeah. It's kind of an in between status.
She had a kid, she had two kids.
And therefore?
So what's he doing with what? He was done. Maybe Taka and Shayla have priority.
Right. So we'll discuss that also. But in general, of course, when a Yibam is done, especially when there's no Yisr, so it's, again, the way the Parshas Kiseitze establishes it is, you know, it's, you know, Yivama Yavo Leha, Lekacha Lolisha, Yibma. The Lekacha Lolisha means she becomes his wife. Right. And normally that continues the relationship. It is possible maybe a father-in-law Yibum is different than a brother-in-law Yibum. So actually in the Michael Feinstein has that suggestion in his paper. He has they put out his Chidushim on Parshas HaShavua. So see, he has that idea. If I get a chance, I'll discuss that. But that's not so obvious. A normal case of Yibum is a real marriage. Although we'll get to that today, I want to highlight that as well. But you're taking a narrower view of Yibum. Normally we take a wider view of Yibum. There's room for both of them. So what's interesting is that so that's in response to your question, but I'm responding at length because it also works in with what I want to say for the next few minutes. The Rajba disagrees. Now, he doesn't disagree. So what I'm saying is there's a debate whether or not Arayos, by means of Ishus, existed Kodem Matan Torah. That's
what it is. Sorry? Ishus
nevertheless
would still establish something.
Yeah. Well, and therefore?
When you say Arayos by Ishus, you're not
existing. By means of relative,
beyond,
by means...
Beyond the...
Well, Ishus is not based on...
Ishus?
Relative, based on Ishus.
Right. So,
I mean, yeah. I mean that, the expanded
right.
Family.
The expanded, right.
Yeah, of course. So the Rajba, again, Rashi, those who sort of think that, you know, there's a problem of Yisr Kala, Kodem Matan Torah, and therefore you have to explain Yehuda differently, they all assume against this Ramban. The Rajba and the Ritva agree with Ramban. The Rajba, however, says, I agree with the Ramban, but I don't agree with his Raya. Okay, why not? So the Rajba says, again, he starts off, Chidushu Dilu, Kurva the Ishus Leislahu, Elabulas Baal Bobad, Hu the Islu, with one exception. The father's wife, the Tegalach Shari Yehuda Amar Al Tamar Kalas and Tzadkimimani Bilo Haytasrula Mishem Kala Katechayet Shemisa Shemerva Lekulam the Bet Shay Shoma Misa Alah and the Bade Arayus to Ishus to Krovin Leitzlu. Rashba repeating Shita Saramban. Then he adds Umiyu Ain Tamar Raya. Right to Muteras Haysa Lol Yehuda Tvar Torah Mishem Yavama. The Kodemat Torah, Aya Yibum, Muta Mekrovin. Elisharot, so Yehuda, Lino, Yehuda, Kederach, Shetziv, Slatorah, Ba'achim, Lo Ba'ab, Sha'ach, Ikar, Ubaki, Hayim, Be'bin, Yano, Be'yoral, Zed, Boaz. Fascinating Rajba. The Rajba basically says, the reason that he refrained to continue to live with her is because he wanted to practice Yibum according to post-Matan Torah standards. But, per se, right, even if there was an Easter Kala, Kodem Matan Torah, there would have been a Heter Yibum, That's the Rashba. And the Ramban is assuming that if it was an Isakala, there wouldn't be a Heter Yibum. Right? So this is a very, and then if you look at the Ritva, this says, fill out the picture. So the Ritva says, this is on page 7, right, line 2, line 1 and 2. Avol shum iser acher demachos ishes leifu, other than eshes av, right, like a stepmother, doachos isha sharilu, rayel adabar, yimei Yaakov Avinu, shenafu shtei achios, chen mutter bekalaso, kinem daughter-in-law, kinem mucham Yehuda shabal tamar, rabar tzad kamineni. Then he adds, v'lo matzinu shehuta lehen iser erva, mishum yitzlas yibum, even if you want to say that Yibum applies to a, you know, extended relative, right? Even if it applies to extended relative, doesn't mean that it's Matir Erba. He's explicitly rejecting this this position of the Rajba. Oh, so why am I telling you this now? Several things. Number one, it goes to the heart of the question, the third point of the Totsishamin, which is, was there Yibum quoted about in Torah? Right? So the Gemara, just to highlight it a little bit more, the Gemara on the Gemara on the base, if you have here, which we have here as well, on page 7, or line number 5, it's in the Gemara here in the base, but it's only one line, so I'm just going to read it from here. It's line 6. So the Gemara there has the discussion back and forth about Afsa Dokhalosa, but I hope we'll get to it. So the Gemara wants to know, in general, whether Ase is Dokha, Los Ase, Shish, Kokares, the whole discussion. So the Gemara is talking about different Ase's of different force. So the Gemara says, maybe we should derive, you know, a limud about Ase, Dokha, Los Ase, mean Mila the Tamid, because Bris Mila is Dokha, you know, Shabbos, and Tamid is Dokha Shabbos, so it's an Ase, which is Dokha, Los Ase. So the Gemara says, don't bring me rayas, me mila v'tamid, shekin yesh alifnei adibur. Because we find that Prismila and Parbanos already existed or already practiced lifnei matan Torah, and that makes them, I guess, more indispensable or more crucial. So the passage of the Gemara, the Gemara context, is the Gemara speaking about Yibum. I mean, as opposed to Yibum. Right? So if you look at the Ritva, so the Ritva says, right? Malahanok Shekhen Yeshna Lifnei Hadibur. Right? Pirush Rashi. It's a Rashi that we don't have. The Rashi that the Ritva had. Aval Mitzvah Yibum Eino Lifnei Hadibur. The implication is that there's no Mitzvah Yibum Lifnei Hadibur. Pirush LePerusho. Right now the problem is, what do you mean there's no Yibum Kodem Hadibur? There's a Parsha in Vayeshev, which is Kodem Matan Torah, the whole story of Yehuda and Tamar. Right? Here's the perusha. Apagav the chazina liyehuda the aval sheyu noginba la b'toras mitzvahi el kederach shekiyem Avram Avinu afilo eruvei tzavchila. Right, the Gemara says in Yuma daf chavches that the avos Avram Avinu was knowing that somehow he knew them and he was knowing personally the mitzvahs of post matan Torah, pre matan Torah. He wasn't obligated, but he practiced them. And the Gemara says even Dine Drabana, like Eruv Tavshil. Fascinating Gemara. So the Ritva says, it's true there's a parsha of the Torah, there's no denying that, of Yibum. Now again, some of the parshim will say, it just looks like Yibum. It's a Yibum of a Melitza, because maybe Er wasn't even married to Tamar, legally. So it's, you know, what we would call, or what looks like, you know, Yibum, post-Matan Torah, but without any of the real Dinim of Yibum, because there wasn't really a marriage, there wasn't really, you know, brothers, there wasn't the father-in-law. That's one way out of the problem. Right? If you believe we're dealing with the real brothers, real father-in-law, the pastas, real Yibum. So what are we talking about here? So the Ritva's answer is, this is a Niug, like the Gemara Numa, that, you know, they anticipated and we're knowing post-Dinei Torah. Okay. But that's, again, it's hard to say that according to some of these other Rishonim, because some of the Rishonim are like the Ramban. The Ramban says it's real Yibum, because it applies more extensively to other relatives. The Rashba thinks it's real Yibum. He even thinks it's Docha Arayos. So how do you get out of the Gemara? The Gemara says, that this is an example, Tamid and Mila are examples of something that existed lifnei Adibur, and this is a post Adibur only, but you know, how are you going to explain it? So I think that the answer could be as follows, and we'll get back to all of this in some more detail later on, but I think what one might say as follows, and that is, let's take the Rajba for example, because the Rajba, it's very fascinating, right? The Ritva says, you can't say what the Rajba says, because evil isn't Doche Arayos, it's Doche Eshesach. Like, Eshesach is special, without being Doche Eshesach, you know, there's no evil. I think I mentioned last week, you know, that's the line of the Mechilta in Yisro and the Sifrei in Kiseitse, that, you know, Zachar v'Shalma B'Dibur Echad, Shatan is Mitzitza's B'Dibur Echad, right, Mechalel Mos Yumas, and Shnei Kavasim B'nei Shana Tamimim B'Dibur Echad, and Yibum and Eishav Tach B'Dibur Echad. So now we're going to say what? Maybe that's approach in the Rashba. You could say what? Kodem Matan Torah, you know, the Isar Kala and the Yibum of a father-in-law, B'Dibur Echad. Maybe that's all it means. What would you say according to the Rajba? Let's say the brother, right? Let's say there's a brother, you know, not Shishela, but a willing and a proper candidate brother.
Old enough,
and wise enough, and, you know, pious enough, let's say, to pull off a proper Yibum. And let's say that she's also his daughter-in-law. Right? That can happen, just like the Mishnah. In other words, this is somebody who used to be married to his son, right? There was a divorce. She married his brother. So now she's not la'lifan now. She's, right? Just don't worry about the cases. It's not so difficult as it sounds. Now, in other words, we encounter what? A sister-in-law. That's a classic case of Yibum. But she's also a daughter-in-law. Is the Rashba going to say, even then, that we don't care? The Chiyuv Yibum overrides? I don't know. I just don't know. If the answer is no, it's only a father-in-law, daughter-in-law. So then all the Rajba is saying is, if you expand Yibum to include some of the other relatives, right, then by definition you also expand that prohibition. If you're going to say a father-in-law is a second-level Yibum, then you have to say that, you know, Isakala, the Yibum shall av, the Dibur Echad now. But you wouldn't say that about a case where the Yibum is the brother-in-law, it's Petorah's brother-in-law, but she also happens to be a daughter-in-law. Because then it's not Petorah's father-in-law, it's Petorah's only brother-in-law. However, if the Rajba really means that the Yibum of Kodem Matan Torah was Docher Arayos, right, Asa Dochalosa, say, right, in other words, so then what's he really saying? That the Mishnah, the Rajba is saying, the Mishnah in Yibamos HaBeisam and Aleph, which says, right, that aside from Eshesach, any other real erva, right, is off limits, right, for Yibum, that's post-Matan Torah. But it's not pre-Matan Torah. Wow, that's amazing, because then we're saying, not only is there Yibum Kodem Matan Torah, but the Yibum Kodem Matan Torah is more overriding and urgent in a way than the Yibum of post-Matan Torah. That's pretty amazing. Not so amazing. Okay. So you're not going to lose any sleep on that, right? But it's, I have to admit, it's cost me a couple of nights until I figured out what was going on. Okay. Now, so that's an amazing thing. Oh, so let's take a step back. So I'd like to say the short part of the story is, I'd like to say, what did I begin with? Two things, right? Two points in the Tosfos Yeshanim. One is, it seems like the Tosfos Yeshanim thinks pre-Matan Torah is very relevant to post-Matan Torah. We're balancing that with the Gemara and Hayom Beis, which seems to say that there is no pre-Matan Torah. But if there really is a pre-Matan Torah, so then how do you explain that, right? Then we have this Rajba problem, where the Rajba seems to say that Yibum is more urgent and overriding of other Isurim pre-Matan Torah than it is post-Matan Torah. We weren't even sure a couple minutes ago that it existed. It sounds like the Gemara doesn't even exist, or it's just like a minig bialma, or just like, you know, a lechatchila to be doing post Matan Torah things, pre Matan Torah, and all of a sudden it's even more mechayiv. And again, I think that's very strange. So what's going on? And the second point of the Tosfos Yeshanim was, why do we begin Seder Nashim with Yibamos? we want to identify the Arayos, you know, before we get into the Ishus. And I expanded this. Why did we begin Yevamos with the exceptions to the rule? Right? So I'd like to suggest, again, my approach to the problem of why the second Yevamos is a lead-off for Seder Nashim, not like the other Rishonim, and I haven't seen it, but I really believe in that. And that is that, again, it goes back to how we look at Yibum and Chalitza. So we started last week, and then I want to continue with by going through some of the Pesukim a little bit, see a little more. One way to look at the entire problem, now again, this is, let me make it clear, this is an issue which I think affects many issues in Yibum and Chalitza, and I don't think you have to say about all of them, but I think it's a general approach which you're likely to find patterns about, patterns with exceptions, but patterns nonetheless. So I think one way to look at Yibum and Chalitza is to say, listen, it really does challenge a lot of the conventional existing institutions of Ishus. There's an Ishur Eishesach, what we talked about last week. There's an Ishur Eishesach, and this defies that. They're normally require Erusin and then Nisuin. This defies that. Normally, you know, when we speak about children, you know, we speak about children being children of a father who's really their father. You know, not in some, you know, either environmental or mystical, you know, way. Normally, when you have a mitzvah, you have a mitzvah. You don't have an alternative of two mitzvahs. There are a lot of issues, a lot of complexities in Yibum Chalitza. So, why don't I say, listen, it's a urgent situation. There's a chiyuv l'achim l'achim shem b'Yisrael, or whatever it is, and that justifies breaking some rules. But that's how we should look at it, is breaking rules. It's an exception to many of these categories. Right? Or, the alternative is to say, you know what, you know, this is Yibum Shel Kedusha. This is an Ishus of Kedusha too, given the circumstances. There's a chesed here, both for the mace and possibly for the wife. And this isn't an exception to Ishus. These are exceptions that are built in, right, and that convey, maybe in some cases even more dramatically than others, right, Kedusha Sa'ishas. And that's the other way to look at. You're going to end up with a lot more Hutra than you are in Dechuya, right, and so on. So having said that, so let's look at the problem then, in general, the problem of Arayos. Right, one way to look at, in general, Ishas, to look at Arayos is to say, Arayos is a limitation, you know, on Ishus. You can, there's a bit of Ishus, you're supposed to get married, right? And mostly you can marry who you want. There are some people you can't marry. Why can't you marry them? There are Asuras for other reasons. Or, to look at this problem, you know, as part of a bigger picture, and it's an internal limit, meaning, the reason you can't marry some of these people is because Ishus is a Davar Shebekdusha. Right, and the nature of Ishus is inconsistent with being able to marry anybody. Right, if you're just marrying for pleasure or for procreation, right, so then maybe you can marry almost anybody. But if this is about, you know, a relationship of Kedusha, right, then you can't marry just anybody. In that sense, let's look at Tosi Shana. I'm not saying this is what the Tosi Shana had in mind. For all I know, he didn't. I've been co-opting what he says, and I'm, you know, that's fine too. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Meaning, why should you begin Seder Ishus with the people you can't marry? Right? Maybe because the people that you can't marry, right, highlight that marriage, right, is a davar shebekdusha. It's not a coincidence that a lot more people you can't marry, you know, a post-Matan Torah than pre-Matan Torah, or a Jew more than a non-Jew, even a Benoach, even according to Dinei Bnei Noach. Right? That's a function of the Kedusha. By the same token, I would say the same thing about Yibum. Why do we talk about Sechet Yevamos with the exceptions? So again, let's look at Yibum again. Is Yibum about lach and lach and shame, or finding, you know, her, you know, a secure, you know, environment, you know, to continue her status as a member of this family? Right? The only thing is, at what price? Pressure, counter pressure. On the one hand, to do this. On the other hand, right, you can't trample over other areas of halacha, so we have rules. And erva is a red line. Or, just one more second, or is the point that if it was just about Lachim, Lachim Shem in particular, right, so then maybe you could justify. The Gemara has a whole discussion. We'll have to see when we get to that topic now how consistent the Gemara is. Is that really the issue, or is it Shem Erva, let's say? For being in it, why do we care whether it's Shem Erva? It's a formality. So what? I think it's this idea, the internal limit. And that's a different perspective in Yibum. So then if you start with Sechet Yibamos, with the limits, who you can't marry, right, that's another way of saying, you know why? Because Yibum is Ishus. Yibum is a Kiyum in Kedushas and Ishus. Not a Dechia of Kedushas and Ishus. That's why you can't just marry anybody. Right? If we didn't care, and you were just allowed to violate, it was Dechia, wherever you can Dechia, you can Dechia. That would be the only limit. So by the same, so now we understand the perfect beginning for Masechet Yibamos are those arayos. Ah, but having said that, so then let's go back to pre-Matan Torah. Two things. Number one, according to Chachmei Svarad, who say that arayos, right, based on Ishus, doesn't exist. Kodem Matan Torah, only post-Matan Torah. That itself is fascinating. Right? Why not? Meaning pre-Matan Torah, what's the idea? The idea that post-Matan Torah is that there's more Kedushas Ishus, therefore who you can marry, you have to be more selective. Or you have to be consistent with that motif. So even though technically, right, it's a daughter-in-law, it's a mother-in-law, it's a sister-in-law, they're not even, you know, necessarily still married to, you know, the connect, the ksharim. In some cases, that person might not be alive. There are differences in that. One could marry a sister of one's wife, la'achar, most of them, just not la'achar gerushin. So there are, you have to look at each one. But the point is, if you took a more objective, just the shame kala, the shame, you know, akos ishto, so then you might take a pre-Matan Torah stance of all of this. But if it's all bound up with this Davrash of the Kedusha idea, and the respect and the idea of extended family as well, meaning the fact that she married my son, or my father, right, or my brother, right, so it really does establish a family connection that even transcends, you know, that link. The link is a link, but it's not the end of the story. It's not just a violation of the brother, the father, the son, but there really is a kurva. That's a very ambitious notion of Ishus. So what I'm saying is, this, when we say, let's begin with the arayos. Let's begin people you can't marry. And a lot of those people are people who are, right, arayos by means of Ishus. So what are you really doing? You're accenting Kedushas Ishus. The ability to expand the family, A, and that's a prohibition, right, in Ishus going forward, because that's inconsistent with the Kedusha. As opposed to pre-Matan Torah, which is a different story. So pre-post-Matan Torah is a different story. Having said that, so let me get back to the Rambam for a minute. So this is my speculation, but I'm throwing it out there. And that is, again, what does the Rajba seem to say? Pre-Matan Torah, even a brother, even a father. And pre-Matan Torah, even a father, and therefore that means a kala. Right? Meaning a daughter-in-law. And the Ritva says, what, you're Matar Arayos? Pre-Matan Torah, that you're not even Matar Posta? Bishloma, Eishes, Ach. That's what Yibum is. Right? But kala? How could it be? Right? However, right, maybe the idea is the idea that the Yibum of pre-Matan Torah was different than the Yibum of post-Matan Torah. Maybe the Yibum of pre-Matan Torah, right, was a Yibum of L'Hakim Zera L'Hakim. It was very pragmatic. It was a Dechuya. It was to override, you know, certain otherwise Isurim, right, for the sake of the Mitzvah. But there wasn't this holistic view, you know, that this Yibum is going to be a Darvash of Kedusha. Right? Why? Because that's not what life pre-Matan Torah was all about. Even according to the Rashba, it says that there was a Rayos by means of Ishus. Right? Indeed, the very fact that you're expanding Yibum to include other relatives other than the brother, may itself accept the fact that it had a more pragmatic, you know, purpose. It wasn't Kieshu Achim Yachdav. So then the point may be, and I think there are other Rayos from this as well, other discrepancies between pre and post Matan Torah. So then, if you ask the question, the Gemara says that, you know, Tamid and Mila and also Vav Pesach, right, they are Kodem HaDibur. What's the implication? That Yibum is not Kodem HaDibur. But Yibum is Kodem HaDibur, the whole story of Yidu Tamar. So if you say, like, the Ritva, oh, it's based on, you know, they were no egg post the Matan Torah standards. But that doesn't work well for some of the Rishonim who think that this is, you know, these are real dinim. These are real chiyuvim. Right? The Ramban quotes the Medrash that says that, you know, Yehuda and Itztava Rishon Olayibu. Itztava. And, you know, the Rishonim were asking questions about Kala and how did he not get Shela. But they're assuming it's more real than that. So if that's the case, how can the Gemara say something that's against Pesukim and Chumash? Or if you understand the Pesukim and Chumash that way. Ah. But the answer may be that it's true there was a Yibum Kodem Matan Torah, but that's not the same as the Yibum post Matan Torah. I don't mean it's not related at all, but it's different sufficiently, it's a different perspective. The pre-Yibum Matan Torah, the Hakam Lakashim, and then a very, as I say, narrow focus and purpose. In that sense, maybe it was also able to override technically more because it didn't have, it was, as long as its overriding didn't interfere with its more single-minded purpose, that's a good justification. But post-Matan Torah, where Yibum is a kind of an Ishus and a Dover Shemikdusha, right? It's going to be more expansive, it's going to be less expansive. But this has to fit into that picture. That's a different Yibum. That Yibum we don't find Kodem Matan Torah. It was a question.
According to them, those that were married at the time of Matan Torah, to use the colloquialism, did they renew their vows now at a higher standard of Ishus?
It's a good question. There's a bigger question that people ask if it was really Geirus at the time of Matan Torah. There's a famous question that Cronin asked. So how can you know, why couldn't everybody marry
anybody?
You know, their mother, their daughter, their sister, their whatever. So this is a question, and also it's an interesting answer given. My own view, I think I may have mentioned this in some other context if we ever spoke about Geirus, is that there's a difference between Geirus HaTzibur and Geirus HaYachid. And that if everybody, Lu Yitzur, you could have a situation where everybody, you know, traverses, you know, from Giyusan to Geirusan, you know, together, you know, that's a different experience. Even then, you know, the closest thing to it is where, more later on in the Yavamos and the Ramban discussion of, you know, Ta'omim, if you have, you know, post Matan Torah, but you have a real Giyores, and she's Miskayeres, you know, while she's pregnant. So what is the relationship of the, you know, the children that are produced? That's Harasan Shalom Bikdusha, and, you know, Leidasan, you know, Bikdusha. So that's a, you know, but certainly, in my view, what took place at Matan Torah, where everybody kind of stepping over the Rubicon together, you know, holding hands, you know, where the people were allowed to hold hands, you know, that, whoever it was, that, you know, that's, I think, so that itself was, I don't know if that was the equivalent of renewing the vows, but that's kind of how I would look at it. You know, the
famous Maharal in Shoal and Akhnanit.
Yeah.
The Maharal says there that there wasn't the Geirus and Matan Torah, but the Geirus is going to be to Datuk Fiyah. And Matan Torah is covering my convenience.
Okay.
So therefore, he says,
I mean, but the
but
it was some sort of a game
because
right, that's the
Mishpachos. Why were they crying so much? Because the whole Hemshech HaGeirus was only as a result of them being children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Their kinship to the Rabbanu Shel Olam was based on they were priests, so you can't say that they were misguided entirely.
Right, so the question, again, maybe it's saying something similar to what I'm saying.
Very
but,
long for arguing and questions.
Yeah, it's a lot of the Yiddishah. Shmaitz has this in his Dhamma. And it's a lot of Achronim speak about
it.
Yeah. So the, I think a lot of Achronim you know, speak about this. It could be that what you're saying, I have to look at it, I don't remember, is saying something similar to what I'm saying, or something different, I don't remember. I'm comfortable with my approach of it, but yeah, it's an issue. But the Bechia L'Nishpachoseyam was partly because the new imposed limits. So again, that's part of the Kedusha. It's not just, oh, you know, there are more Yisurim and more Mitzvot, so Nebuch, you know, the Ishus is more restricted. What I'm suggesting about the Hagdamah and all these issues and connections is that's part of that's the price you pay for an Ishus, which is now Dover Shevet Kedusha.
I'm only talking about Gevus.
Yeah, no, okay.
No,
we're talking about the Kriya of Yibu Malachah.
Yeah.
The definition is a heter of a
Shevet.
So, according to those who hold that Prima Batara, there was an idea of Yibu for the father-in-law, would there automatically be also a heter of Chala?
So I'm saying that with the that's couldn't. When I quoted the Rajba, I said I think there are two possibilities in the Rajba. One is what you just said. In which case, I give the example, and let's say you were talking about the Yibum of a brother to a sister-in-law,
right,
who also happened to be his daughter-in-law. So then the Rajba would say, no. Because he's not doing it B'Torah's father-in-law, it's B'Torah's brother-in-law. Or is the Rajba saying that you know, before Matan Torah, Yibum was Zocharias too, or Samarias too?
Permission was not applied.
Yeah, exactly. We don't. So no, he doesn't explicate. That's exactly what I meant. Yeah. So this is an interesting question. So the there's a very famous sefer called the Kli Chemda. Now it's very popular to have these kind of sarin. You know, like these halachic discussions on the Parsha. But we go back to, you know, the Mishnah Melach and others as well. But like in the first quarter of the century, I think. So this is the Sefer Kli Chemda was like the Sefer that did that. And it was a very big Talmud Chacham. So he has like a whole discussion about this problem of the Gemara and Daf Yomei Beis. The Gemara seems to say, as we just said, that there was no Yibum Kodem HaDibur, because they're saying there's Talmud Kodem HaDibur, there's Mila, there's Pesach, all these are Kodem HaDibur, in contrast to Yibum. So he quotes the Ritva, the Shem Rashi. He says there's no such Rashi. We don't need him to say there's no such Rashi. We know there's no such Rashi in the Daf. It's not only that, I have a Diuk in Rashi, which I don't find convincing as it happens, but he did. I have a Diuk in Rashi in the Gemara that he holds exactly the opposite. Right? So then the question is, you know, if how do you read the Gemara? Right, so his suggestion is that Kodem Matan Torah there was Yibum, but there was no Chalitza. And post Matan Torah, of course, there's Yibum and Chalitza. So of course that's a very interesting idea. I would have said, if you ask me, he didn't say this, he just said that's the difference, and that's what he means, that it's not Kodem HaDibur. So, I mean, Kodem HaDibur is a stronger Yibum, because it's a one side, there's no outlet, there's no exemption.
Right.
Post Matan Torah, it's Efshar B'Yi, Efshar B'Chalitza. But what I would add is when we get to the discussion of the relationship between Yibum and Chalitza, well, we'll discuss this more fully, is that, again, there are different ways to look at Yibum and Chalitza. On the one hand, as I said, it's a very strange phenomenon that you have an option. Right? It's very rare to have such a thing. Egla Rufa. I'm sorry. Petach Hamor. Sorry. Arifas or Pidyon Petach Hamor is an example that some of the Achronim give, which is maybe comparable. Stakes are very so very different. But anyway. But it's a, you know.
Pidyon Aben.
What?
Pidyon Aben.
Well, Pidyon Aben, really, I mean, you don't have another option. Right, it's a Chiyu Pidyon Aben.
You can't say about the point, Keith.
Yeah, we say my boy is fake, but Cohen, but we're not. We don't mean it. I mean, we mean it, but we don't mean it as a real option right now. So it's more of a didactic, you know, what might have been. But it's a very rare thing. So what is the relation? On one hand, Yibum and Chalitza are opposites. Right, among them, they seem to. So Reb Sadjagon counts them as one, meaning the mitzvah, the Yibam and Chalitza. The Rambam counts them as two. The relationship between Yibam and Chalitza is a tricky kind of a thing. So I always try to explain, Reb Sadjagon says a one mitzvah. How can there be one mitzvah? The tshuva of the Rivash. The Rivash says maybe they're one mitzvah because they both address and solve the problem of Zika. Like she's bound to him. There are two ways out. So it isn't two different. It's two methods of accomplishing one mitzvah. The mitzvah is to free them. If you look at the mitzvah that way, fine. You're always looking at it that way. She might be, connected. Skuk of Yomedes to him, but that doesn't mean that the mitzvah is to make her not. Maybe the mitzvah is to bring her into your family to, or to give the, Hameis, Zerah B'Yisrael. So it's a question how you look at it. But this is a discussion. The Rivash has this and the Rajbat and the Tshuva has a different perspective and so on. Either way, it's a big machlokas or Rishon. In general, the Gemara says in Daf Gimel, and especially later on in a few places, Kol Ol Yibum Ol L'Chalitza, Kol Shein Ol Yibum Ein Ol L'Chalitza. Right, for example, the Mishnah, our first Mishnah, which says that when you encounter the 15 Narayos, right, so there's no Yibum. But there's not only no Yibum, and if it turns Sara, there's no Chalitza either. So that there's no Yibum, you can say, yeah, because it's a Raya Shei Fokaris, and you just can't do it. But why not Chalitza? So the Gemara says, So on the one hand, Yibum and Chalitza are opposites, right? One is bringing her into the fold of the family, continuing the marriage of the maids, or at least the connection to the family. The other one is being called to her in the shuk. On the other hand, there are indications that they're two sides of the same coin. Ah. So I thought that one explanation of why they might be two sides of the same coin is also to kind of moderate, if you take the perspective that I'm pushing in Yibum, which is Yibum isn't just an urgent requirement, l'hakim l'achit shame, it's that too, but it should be understood, it's kedushas ha'ishus in a different circumstance, in a different context, in the adjustments, which seem to be rule-breaking exceptions. They are exceptions, but they're exceptions that really are adjustments of the rule of ishus. Those are the two perspectives that I'm trying to develop here. To take that second perspective, the one that I like better, obviously, so then you might say, that Yibum and Chalitza, are inextricably connected, because Chalitza is a safety valve for Yibum. Right, and this is, of course, the point of Abba Shaul. Right, the famous view of Abba Shaul, we'll have later on in the Gemara. Abba Shaul, there's a debate in the Gemara whether Yibum kodem the Chalitza or Chalitza kodem is for Yibum, which is better, which is preferred. So Abba Shaul was of the opinion that Chalitza is Kodemus L'Yibum, but the reason, not because per se, sounds in the Torah like Yibum is a better option. He was worried that you won't be able to pull off Yibum properly, with the right Kabbana. Abba Shaul is the opinion that you need proper Kabbana for Yibum. If you do it, L'Shem Yofi, or L'Shem Ishus, not L'Shem Yibum, Abba Shaul thinks it borders on Arias. Right? It's an amazing idea. Now, if you don't pass like Abba Shaul, so then my question is, so the Abba Shaul idea is just, we don't pass it that way, fine, but the idea doesn't apply at all, or it does. Again, according to me, it's a way of framing my point. If Yibum is part of Kedushas Ishus, so maybe we don't go as far as Abba Shaul. We think we can pull it off, right? But the whole point, it should be a Dabba Shaul Kedusha, right? Ah. So the point, just like Abba Shaul said, the Chalitza is Kodemus, because you have to worry about it. But even the Chachamim, who disagree with Abba Shaul, they say, in Parshas Kiseitze, right before Ki Yishvu Shachin Yachtav, comes to Sachsam Shodim Yishav. Right, so the Chazal, by the Smichos of Parshas, learned the Limud, they use this, that the Zakenim, right, should give good advice when it comes to Yibum. But there's a tremendous discrepancy in age. Right, they should counsel against evil. Yeah. So, and that's based on this this idea. They should say, here the right thing to do is Chalitza. So in a way, you could look at Chalitza as a safety valve for Yibum. If you want Yibum to really be a Dabba Shaul B'Kedusha, or you have to have the option of Chalitza where you need it. Much in the same way, right, that we talked about when we learned Gittin, right, the Matzah B'Ervas Davar, that Gittin is a safety valve for the Kedusha Sa'ishas of Kedusha. Right? When we say that, Afilu Dicha Tavshila, that that you can get divorced, right? So there are two ways to look at it. One is, it's very easy to get divorced. Right? Or, if a marriage, if you want to break up your marriage because of the nikutat shilo and there's so little respect, as we discussed then, in a marriage, it's not a marriage worth saving, it's a marriage where the kedusha is already, you know, long gone. And the sense of affection and respect and regard and all those things obviously don't exist anymore if such a thing, you know, doesn't just get you, you know, momentarily upset, you know, but wants you to make such a big change in your life. So in a sense, gittin, this is, you know, our answer to the Catholic Church. Not that we're less strict about kedushas ishus, but we're more strict about the kedusha of kedushas ishus. Right, so we, you know, definitely discourage divorce strongly, but it's important to have the possibility of divorce. A, so that people don't feel trapped. B, so when there really is, you know, a breakdown which makes the kedushas ishus no longer possible, right, then it's better to have a divorce. So in that sense, I think one could argue that chalitza is a safety valve for yibum shel kedusha as well. So having said that, I just think it's very fascinating. Again, this getting back to Klichenda. Klichenda says, Kodem Matan Torah, his opinion, it was Yibum but no Chalitza. Right? So this works in perfectly to my, he's not saying the rest of my scheme. Just, what I was suggesting a moment ago is, yeah, there's Yibum Kodem Matan Torah and there's Yibum post Matan Torah. The question is, the Tos Yishonim thinks they're connected. Either way, they might be somewhat connected. Are they the same thing with some adjustments, right? Or slightly different emphasis? Maybe it's not just slightly, but different emphasis. Kodem Matan Torah is lachim lachim shem, and it's about that overriding imperative, right? And what you have to, you know, whatever you're allowed to violate, you know, legitimately, you know, whatever price you're allowed to pay, you know, is to accomplish that goal. If you're allowed to do it, you're allowed to do it, and that perspective doesn't see Yibum as a Dover Shabbatusha and doesn't necessarily require the outlet of Chalitza. Post Matan Torah, right, where it's Yavama, Yavo, Aleha, Ulakacha, Loliisha, the Yibma, right, in other words, where the Yibum is connected also with the regular Ishos, Lakacha, Loliisha, so there you need an outlet of Chalitza. That's the suggestion. Yeah.
Was it required?
Right. So this is part of the debate.
Right.
So meaning the... Yeah, 100%. 100%. In other words, for example, those who think that it was... that there's a range of views on that topic. I mean, Tos Yishonim is saying the reason Masechet Yevamos is first in Nashim is because of the story of Tamar Yehuda, is the first Ishus event, is assuming that probably Ben Zachi, I'm assuming. Definitely there are Midrashim and Ramban assumes that it's a Zachi of some sort. The Rav Sajigon goes further, seems to say that it's a Zachi of Bnei Noach, not just a Zachi of Yisrael. That it's certainly disconnected from Kedushas Ishus Kodem Matan Torah. The Ramban rejects that very strongly. Ramban is bothered by another question. You have it here. Ramban says this Perish Al Torah, which is for 1 minute. Ramban says, again, you know, they originally Yehuda thought Tamar was the Mizana. They said the Hotziua the Tisar. All the Rishonim are bothered by that also. Why should she be burnt? Right? So Rashi says she was an Ashes Kohen, but she's an Yavama who was an Ashes Kohen, not an Ashes Ish. And was she really an Ashes Kohen? You know, all those things. So the Ramban says, oh, maybe the reason she should be killed.
What page?
This is the Ramban.
What page?
I'm looking just one second. Yeah, page 5. Right, number 2. Vayomer Yehuda Hotziyuhu HaDisisarev. Everybody have that? So he first quotes Rashi, who quotes the Medrash. Omer Ephraim Makshah Talmidus Radimei Rishum Radimei. Tamar Bito Shoshay Moisa Shehu Kohen Lufikach Danu HaDisreifu. That comes to Rashi v'lo Pirsho. Ramban says, "Ani lo yadati adina zeh." So that's coming in a chayav straight to the nus and zikas abal arusa o nesua. Kamoshim mefurash v'gemar v'sanhedrin. Of about point, Jemeres Yavam Shizinsa Eidav Misaklav. Number one, that's interesting in its own right, because if you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nunala from the base, the Gemara is excluding Tnuya. It doesn't exclude Jemeres Yavam. It says Zika Spao, and it gives the example of Kedushin and Nisuin. Right? But Zika is not Tnuya. Zika is somewhere in between those two things. So I'm not so sure about that anyway. I will pass coin, Jemeres Yavam Sinifai. Rubain, but I think what bothers Roman particularly is that Jemeres Yavam does not keep Misa. How could it be straight by even in the case of Bas Kohen? I think you could answer that question too. Maybe it's in Bas Kohen, in the Kavod of Kahuna, which is a different stuff. But okay. But Bain Bas is short, Bain Bas Kohen, Ena Ela Balav Greed. Then he says, Bim Tomar, Shari, Ayibum Noi, Bibne Noach. Right? And that would answer, because he lahem, Bechlal, Eshesish, Bazar Shalahem, Zui, Misasam. Right? So that's fascinating. Ramban says, maybe because the Yibum is applicable to Bnei Noach, which is a view from Sajigon, right? The Ramban himself is seen a second rejects it. And if that's true, then he adds another Kiddush, that even though Shemeres Yavam for Yisrael is not an Eshesish Gemura with a Chiyuv Misa, maybe for Bnei Noach it is. So that's also an example like that Rajma, meaning, or the Klichemda, you know, we're more Machmir on Yibum and Shemeres Yavam, Kodim Matan Torah. It could seem fake, because you could just say that for Bnei Noach in particular, everything is much more black and white. If you're married, but you're my wife, or you're not my wife. Yeah, 100%. Or as a Russell Zimni thought, meaning everything is more clear cut pre Matan Torah. I would say that's unquestionably part of it, and maybe that itself is connected to the idea that, you know, the themes are just much more black and white, Kodim Matan Torah, because you don't have this idea of a Dabur Shem B'Kedusha, which is so nuanced, where you have to balance the whole system all the time. No. That's a unique feature of Yahadus and of Halacha, of post-Matan Torah. But anyway, this is Ramban suggesting that if it's the Din and Bnei Noach, then it would be in Eish HaSish and it would be Chayv Misa. Fascinating. But then he rejects it. He says, V'alohem Omrim, She Yehuda Hitcha B'mitzvah Yibum Tchila. He's assuming it's a Chiyum. Right, so there's a range of views, whether it was a Kiyum, a Nihug, whether it was a Ben Noach, whether it was a Chiyuv, whether it was based on the Gemara in Yuma Daf Chav Ches, and depending on which one of these, you know, how that fits into the Gemara in Hamad Beis, and so on. But it's very fascinating that the Ramban, with all of that, always brings Rayas from Rus and Boaz, and that's post-Matan Torah, but that's also a Yibum, which is not the brother. It's what he calls, Ramban himself calls Geula. Ibn Ezra calls it Geula. Ibn Ezra says there never was any Yibum which wasn't for brothers. Erev Onan, but not Yehuda wasn't Yibum. That's Geula. The Ibn Ezra says the Geula of Rus and Boaz is a different category. Don't bring me rivals from there. Ramban, both in Vayeshev and Kitensei, things are connected. And it's an interesting phenomenon.
Why do Rashba refer to Boaz?
The Rashba?
You would have read before.
So what is this, in which line?
At the very end. At the very last line.
Boaz.
I think he's talking about the priorities.
The priority of the brother.
There's a Goel, he says.
Yeah.
The whole idea of Boaz, he's a pecking order.
Right.
And I think that's what he's talking about.
I think so. I'm not 100% sure. It doesn't make it very clear. Yeah, I'm not sure. Anyways, I got a little off track, but not off track. I mean, these are all things I wanted to bring in that time anyway. But the statistics sum up for a moment. You know, I'm just going to mention two other things. I think I have two more minutes quickly. And that is, I think Agdama, the first words in the Parsha, also show us this. That I'm going to leave for another time. Ki Yesu Achim Yachta, which is a strange Agdama, as I mentioned. I think this highlights the fact that this is a Mishpacha, Kedushas Mishpacha oriented halacha. But in addition to that, I just wanted to share, to highlight these things, two interpretations of the pasuk, which I think is a key pasuk, number 5, line 5. The Imlo Yachlot Isha Kachas is. No. I'm sorry. Key, the first pasuk. Both the Kiesu Achav and the Chutzal Yizar, I think, are very, very suggestive, but not for now. Yibamo Yabolau Lekachalo Yishavim, which, as we pointed out last week, is a very packed. I mean, the whole pasuk is packed, but the seifa is also packed. But Yibamo Yabolau Lekachalo Leisha Biyigma. Right, the word Yud Beis Mem appears, or Yavo, Yibamo, Yigma, right, three times. Lekachalo Leisha, which refers to the impact of Isha. So Gemara says in Yivamo Safran Tess, I said, I think I mentioned this, that from this word, Lekachal Elisha, we learn that if, you know, there's evil, and then after that the marriage or the relationship breaks up, so you might have thought you need a chalitza then, because it came through evil. Kamashwan, you need a get. And that if there's no intervening marriage, he could remarry her. Right, then the normal din of masu which also applies, which is the Gemara's way of saying we might have thought that this chalos yibum, you know, is a different than ishus, and there's always isur ishus ach lurking, you know, ready to assert itself, and therefore there's no longer yibum, there's ishus ach, and you had your chance. Kamash milam, we treat it as ishus. Of course, the question is how much do we treat it as ishus, or just these dinin, these expressions? That's the machlokas rishon. But I think what's particularly fascinating, so I mentioned last week the debate between the Ibn Ezra and Rabbi Yonah Ibn Janach on one side, I'm pretty sure I mentioned it, and the Sfarno and the Siskuni, right, how do we read the Psukim? One is, right, she's a Yavama, right, he's a Yavam, she's a Yavama, Yavala on a Kachal Alisha. That's how the Ibn Ezra and Rabbi Yonah Ibn Janach interpret it, which is, what you're supposed to do, you know, is, of course, when she's married to your brother, right, there's no distance that's you know, too far. But when he dies without leaving children, so then the kiyum of respecting that relationship, right, is yavala v'yiv, yavala v'kachal elisha v'yivma. As opposed to the Sfarno, the Chizkuni say means exactly the opposite, which is yivama, right? But yavala v'kachal elisha v'yivma, you know, remove her status as yivama as soon as possible. That's the way that the Tzkuni and the Sfarno interpret, meaning this isn't the kiyum in the brother-in-law, sister-in-law relationship. It's despite the fact that his brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and we're unhappy about that even now, right? Nonetheless, you have to go ahead with this and make your wife, that supersedes, she's no longer a sister-in-law once she's a wife. You know, for me, the two opposite perspectives, right? The Yibum fitting in, Yibum is an exception, or is a denial, but. So it's fascinating that I just want to bring to your attention two other comments on this passage. One is the Hamek Dover, which I don't have in front of us, and it's it, who basically says, you know, what is it? Yivamo Yavo Meha? Or Lekachal Aleisha? So he says there really are two perspectives in every Yibum. There's a Yibum, which is Lahakim Lahakim, shame, where you have the intention simply to accomplish that goal, and it's almost like just via Rishon. The Gemara uses with regard to Chayvei Lavin, right, which is consistent with you, I think you're asking. But for whether you have a shame or is done, there's a child, says the Nesiv, there are two options in Yibum. One is to look at it for that way, or it can be Yibama Yavale Lekachal Olisha. You can look at it as a long term Ishus. No, he's saying, are you going to divorce her right after, whatever, or are you going to keep. There aren't so many real nafkamina for the Nesiv, but he's. The daik and the psukim, that in every yibum there are two perspectives, and these two perspectives are parallel, in my opinion, to the two basic themes that I'm trying to represent. The other one is the malbim, which I do have here. I'm not going to read it because it's too late. But if you look at it, it's the front page. It's really fascinating malbim. AJ. So with the malbim, I'll just read three lines. The malbim says inyan yibum huskar b'maisa ervatamar. The Khan, Ubinian Boaz Barus. You know, this is a Malbim, like, you know. He's trying to figure out, there are three Tanakh cases of Yibum, right? There are differences and details and nuances. How do we figure it all out? Right? So the Malbim came up with a very fascinating, also, two dinim. The first one is the one I really care about. The first hakdama is she'inyan ha'yibum al beis panim. There are two aspects of yibum. One ha'echad kishatele zerem ha'yavam ha'zer yechal shev la'meis v'zei kare ha'kamas shem b'Yisrael v'lo yimech ha'shmor b'Yisrael. One aspect is the overriding right, imperative to produce a child on behalf of this ha'meis. Ha'beis she'eshus ha'meis tia lo le'isha v'gam nachos ha'meis tia lo v'nikro shem ha'meis al nachos ha'idei she'eshus ha'meis tovo v'teit v'minachoso kimi kedem. V'zei kare ha'kavas shem b'nachala shiloi kare shemo me'achiv u'mishar mekomo. Ha'hevdo b'neim, the difference is ki ha'kamas shem b'zera u'takas ha'mechuvam mitzvah s'ibu. Ha'vol tuchol lios rakesh ha'zera sh'teilem ha'yavam u'be'eitha sh'tikare o b'shem eishas ha'meis. Ha'vol achas sh'tikare shem eishas ha'yavam oz yesh eishas echad keilein banim al shem acher. Ha'kamas shem b'nachala ein ha'tachlis Ha'yibum she'nena rak ha'kamas shem b'achim. So basically what he says is that in every yibum, the immediate relationship, right, while the woman is still called Eishes Hameis, but that only post-Matan Torah, that's his second Hagdama. It's pre-Matan Torah, we're more liberal about applying these categories. But post-Matan Torah, she's only Eishes Hameis for a very short time. Be a Rishon or something like that. Right? And therefore, that's the yibum, the ultimate yibum, of Hakama Hashem al Achiv Hameis, the Torah's Eishes Hameis. The other one isn't Eishes Hameis, it's Ishtecha. It's Nachla or Shalom Yimachet Shemo Shal Achiv. But it's not Petorah's, his wife, Petorah's his former wife. These are the two dinim that the Malbim reads in the Psukim. That said, they highlight the two perspectives of
the Malbim. Of course, the fact of Boaz is of the one day.
Again?
Boaz is only there for one day.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Now, of course, the Sparno that we talked about, which is that the Erison belongs to the Mace, but the Nisun and the New Isis belongs to the Chai, the brother, that's another way of navigating, you know, these two perspectives.
Right. So what about a show? How does a show have a long-term relationship?
No, as long as it was entered into that way, it's a Torah Sibyl.